the hilt of the thing. I don't know how big the head was. And you know what he had to fight with? A staff. Now, that doesn't mean a bunch of people. That was a different kind of staff. A staff back in Bible times, it was just that shepherd's stick that had the crook on the top. And he went out against this giant that had this massive weapon, and all he had was a staff in his hand. And the Bible said that somehow he maneuvered, and he reached out with that staff and snatched the spear out of the giant's hand and took his own weapon and thrust him through with it. This is a mighty man. He's a mighty man. And then the Bible says that there was another time. I don't think this was by choice. I don't believe he set this up. I think it just happened. You know, life sometimes just throws you curves. Things that you don't ask for. But suddenly, you're face to face with the lion. You're face to face with an enemy in your life. You're face to face with a crisis that you didn't ask for. But you have to deal with it. The Bible says that he met a lion in a pit, and it was a snowy day. You talk about bad circumstances. I mean, here he's facing, it's bad enough to face a lion. I'm kind of like that. I'd be kind of like that guy. He was out and stealing watermelons, which I, of course, would never do. But he was stealing watermelons, and the guy got out and shot and started shooting at him. And his buddy was running right beside him and said, "Man," said, "did you hear those shots?" He said, "I sure did, twice." "What do you mean?" He said, "I heard when it passed me, and then I heard when I passed it." He was in high gear, I'm telling you. That's the way I'd be if I was facing life. But he was in a pit. He was in close quarters. Amen. Sometimes life throws you into a crisis in a pit, and you have no place to go. You can't run from it. You can't get away from it. You just have to deal with it. And if that's not bad enough, it starts snowing. Have you ever asked yourself, can it get any worse than it did? Here's the line. I'm in the pit, and all of a sudden, it starts snowing on him. Oh, great. As if I needed some slippery ground and some blinding snow to deal with. But you know what? He had to deal with it. You're going to have some lions in your life, and you're just going to have to deal with it. There's not any getting away from it. There's no place to go. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide. You're face to face with an enemy, and you just have to deal with it. Amen. These are interesting things, different enemies. The lion, like men, the Bible says they were from Moab. If you know a little Bible history about Moab, there was a man by the name of Lot. Lot had two daughters. After his wife died and the city of Sodom was destroyed and they were in the mountain, the Bible said the daughters got their father drunk. And they had sexual relations with him. They both became impregnated and bore sons. They named one of the boys Moab, and they named one of them Ammon. And you read all through the Bible about the Moabites and the Ammonites. These were the descendants of Moab and of Ammon. And so they were close relatives of the Israelites. And they caused them troubles their whole life. All through the history, you read about troubles from the Moabites and the Ammonites. Amen. You see, we would call that in typology of the flesh. This stuff right here that we deal with, this is a lot worse than the devil right here. All the devil can do to you is put a thought in your head. That's it. And then you have to make your mind up whether you're going to do what he told you to do or not. But this flesh is what you deal with every day. When you wake up in the morning, your flesh is going to say, "Just 10 more minutes, hit the snooze." Amen. Your flesh is going to say, "Well, you know, just another piece of pie won't hurt." Amen. Just a little seconds here on the little slab of meat, another 8 ounces, not going to hurt a thing. That's dealing with your flesh. Amen. And so flesh is what we deal with every day. Everybody deals with flesh. Sometimes we blame it on the devil, but it's just plain old flesh. That's what we deal with. Well, you know what? The devil can't make you lose your temper. I don't think anybody's lost it. Seems like everybody... Why do we call it losing our temper? Because everybody keeps it. They don't lose it. It's still there, believe me. I'd like to lose mine, but it won't get lost. It stays with me. Amen. And sometimes we say, "You made me mad." Oh? Well, amen. You mean I have that much power over you? You've given me that much control? Isn't that what happens? People don't make us mad. We just give in. Just somebody, "Well, you call me so-and-so." Well, does that make you that? Or is that just... Amen. People calling you something doesn't make you what they call you, does it? Amen. No, sir. But there are certain things that we just get so angry. That's flesh. That's what we deal with every day. We deal with flesh. Everybody deals with it. Amen. We have to deal with our flesh. It's like the Moabites. We have to deal with it every day. Amen. You have to discipline flesh. You have to teach flesh. You have to start out when you're real little. All of you that had children that you raised, did you have to teach them to lie? No, you had to teach them not to lie. Did you have to teach them to steal? Oh, no. You had to teach them not to steal. Did you have to teach them to bite? No, you had to teach them not to bite. Did you have to teach them to fight and lose their temper? No, you didn't. You had to teach them not to do those things. You had to discipline the little boogers. Amen. And then when you get to be older, you have to take that job over for yourself. Mom and dad is not there anymore. So you have to start doing that. Amen. And let me go to this other mic here, brother.
Wireless here, see if it'll work. Yeah, it sounds like we're in a big auditorium.
So you learn to deal with flesh because we struggle with our whole life. You never get rid of this enemy. Until you draw your last breath, you will deal with your flesh. Amen. I've noticed, you know, some people, let's just say we don't outgrow it. Amen. As we get older, if we're not careful, we'll start excusing things. Right? We start making excuses for our flesh. And, "Well, you know, I'm older and you just have..." That's the way I am. Huh? Is that a good excuse? For you to be wrong? Unchristian? No, sir. But sometimes we do that, don't we? I mean, people do. Amen. And so we deal with the flesh. We have to deal with it. Just like the Moabites. You win one day, and the next day you got to fight it again. That's just the flesh. It's what we deal with every day. And then there was, the Bible calls him a great Egyptian. Now, God often used Egypt to deal with Israel. He used Egypt to save Israel and to cause Israel to grow. When the Israelites went into Egypt, there were what? 70 of them. When they came out of Egypt, there were more than 1 million of them. I'd call that growth, wouldn't you? That's pretty good growth. So they came out, they were a mighty nation. And they were ready to do what God had told them they were going to do. But the problem was, God could get them out of Egypt, but He couldn't get Egypt out of some of them. They never got rid of the image of Egypt. It's convenient sometimes when we want to do something, we kind of forget all the bad. Isn't that amazing? When the devil tempts us to do something wrong, we forget the consequences that we pay. All we remember is the pleasure. And we forget about the consequences.
And that's what the Israelites did. God brought them out of Egypt, and all they could remember, and this always amazes me, all they could remember was leeks and onions. Must have been mighty good onions to want to go back to Egypt again. Amen. They wanted to go back to those things that they were familiar with. And God had brought them out with a great deliverance. And oh, they were so excited when they first left. But over time, they wanted to go back. You see, that's what happens in the Christian life. When God delivers us freshly from our sins, we're so grateful, we're so thankful, because we remember the pit that He dug us out of. We're so thankful that the shame is gone and the guilt is gone and the bondage is broken. But as time goes on, we become accustomed to the grace of God. And if we're not careful, we'll start looking back to the things, to the what the Bible calls the world. And we start looking back fondly at some of those things. And we forget the bondage. And we forget the shame. And we forget all of the bad. And all we can think about is the good that was there. When I was in the world, I did this and I did that, and I was like this and I was like that. Here some people talk, they're almost like they're sorry they got saved. They were so wonderful when they were in the world. They had so much when they were back there. Amen. They have forgotten the condition that they were in. Hey, you don't. God doesn't make anybody come out of the world. You got to want to. He's not going to make you come out. He's not going to make you stop sinning. You do it because you're miserable and you understand that was not for me. I was one more miserable human being, and God brought me out of that into marvelous light, into glorious victory. And I thank God for the deliverance. Amen. So he slew an Egyptian, and you have to fight the world. Yes, you do. Amen. Daily you're going to have to fight with the world. You're not going to fight with the people, but with the spirit of the world. Amen. Yes, you are. You're going to sometimes be tempted to give in, and some people battle with wanting to dress like the world and to look like the world and to talk like the world. Uh-huh. And to act like the world. And to do the things that they do. You see, we will battle that in our Christian experience. Amen. But great and mighty men overcome the world. Jesus said that, didn't He? He said, you're in the world. But He said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. Amen. And John wrote his letter to his disciples, and he said to you, the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have the power in the Holy Ghost to overcome the world and to overcome the flesh. But then there are the lions. We don't fight lions every day. Thank God. You may battle the flesh every day. And you may battle the world every day. But you don't fight lions every day. Those are those devouring moments that come just a few times in a life. They are overpowering trials and tribulations and troubles that you just feel like they're going to take you down. They're going to consume you. You're not going to be able to overcome them. But even then, mighty men can overcome. Amen. How do you deal with the lions in life? I know how we deal with the flesh. We discipline flesh. And we pray. And we distance ourselves from the things that would stir appetites in the flesh. I read a story years ago about a man that had a problem with alcoholic drink. And he, after he got saved, he still had a little problem with it from time to time. And somebody asked him, and this was in the Western days, they said, well, where do you tie your horse? He said, well, where I've always tied my horse, right in front of the saloon. They said, there's your problem. Tie him somewhere else. You see, he kept going back to the same place and exposing himself to a temptation. And force of habit, he'd find himself doing something that he really didn't want to do. And something as simple as tying his horse at another hitching post changed his behavior. Isn't that amazing? But little things like that can cause you to overcome problems that you have in the flesh. So we can overcome those things. You can overcome the world. Man, there's things in the world that you just learn how to distance yourself from, not expose yourself to. Amen. If there's a certain reading material that bothers you, then get rid of the material. Amen. If Hollywood gets you down, just get rid of Hollywood. Is that okay? Amen. Praise God. I've heard people say, well, that's just, you know, people, I see people doing it every day. Yeah, but do you bring them in your house to do it? You put them in your living room? Well, I have to hear people talk like that, but do they have to talk like that in your house? In front of your family and your kids? Best thing to do with them, just invite them outside. Don't let them in. Amen. And there are certain things that will help you overcome the world. But when you have to deal with a lion, and you're down in the pit, why is it that it seems like the greatest crisis in our life comes at the low points? When you're already down. You're already struggling. You've already got a burden. You're just not sure you can overcome. And then comes the lion. And the snow begins to fall. And you almost despair. And you think, how am I going to get out of this pit alive? How am I going to make it? Well, there are some things here in these verses that will help us to understand. First of all, the Bible says that Benaniah was the son of a valiant man. First thing you got to understand when you're in the pit and it's snowing and you're facing the lion is understand whose child you are. Understand who you belong to. Know who your daddy is. Understand that I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I'm in this pit, he's in this pit with me. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So you know that if you're in a pit facing a lion, your father's there with you. Not ever going to leave you. He's going to be right there. So understand whose child you are and that you are not alone. Amen. There's a lot that we learn in the Bible by the name of individuals. We know that God oftentimes changed people's name. When He changed their character, He changed their name. I thought it was very interesting, the name. In the Bible, you know, we use the name Sarah. And Sarai. Sarai was her original name. Sarai means domineering. Well, that's not my favorite name for a woman. Abraham was a tough man. To live all those years with domineering. Amen. But in time, the goodness of God appeared. And God actually changed her name. And He changed her name to Sarah. Amen. And it was a dear name. So He changed her, the meaning of her name. We know that God changed the name Jacob. Jacob was a strong name. It means a supplanter. One that overcomes by cunning. And that's how he wins, by cunning. And that was the kind of character that Jacob had. He would win at any cost. He didn't care how he got there, who he had to step on, what it cost him, who he had to cheat. He won that way. And he wrestled with the angel, and he won because God led him. Amen. And he changed his name to Israel. As a prince, thou hast power with God. Amen. God changed men's names. You know, one of the most interesting names, I think, in the Bible is the name Methuselah. Remember Methuselah? Methuselah was the longest living human recorded in the Scripture. He lived to be 969 years old, almost 1,000 years. His name meant that when he dies, it will come. So people had an eye on Methuselah. You talk about watching, they've got all the banana peels out of his way. They didn't want Methuselah having any problems, because what was going to come was the flood. And so he was a living prophecy. And people watched him, and they didn't want Methuselah to die because they didn't want the flood to come. But in the year that Methuselah died, his 969th year, the flood came. Amen. So Bible names oftentimes have great meaning. The name Jesus means God is my Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible has a lot of meaning in particular names. And so the name of this man, Benaniah, means something. It has a very special meaning to us today, so that we begin to understand what it is that God had in store for him. So what does his name mean? His name means God builds. And his father's name, Jehoiada, means God knows. So when you're in the pit on the snowy day and you're face to face with the lion of your life, understand one thing: God knows. You know what got Job through? Oh, how I love to read that in the book of Job. Amen. Job got to a place, he was in such despair. You talk about somebody that was facing a lion. You talk about somebody that was in the pit. You talk about somebody that was snowing on. That was Job. He lost everything. I mean everything. He went from my financial secure to flat broke in just a matter of a day. I mean, it didn't take him long to lose everything, including his family. All he had left was a wife that said, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Maybe I can collect a little life insurance at the very least. Just get it on over with." Amen. He had a bad situation. He was facing a lion. And in the middle of his trouble, he had seven friends, and they came to comfort him. So they comforted him so much, the first 7 days they just looked at him and clucked. Didn't say a word. Just looked sad, depressed. Isn't that great encouragement? And then when they began to encourage, they said, "Job, just go ahead and fess up, boy. Tell us what you've done. God wouldn't have done this to you if you hadn't done something real bad." And they carried on like that the whole book. What an encourager. God's really got it in for you, Job. But Job didn't listen to any of that. He held on to his faith because he knew something. And I loved his confession when he said, "I was looking for God." He said, "I looked ahead and I couldn't find it. I looked behind me and I couldn't find it. I looked to the right, to the left, I couldn't find it." And then he said this. He said, "But he knows the way that I take. I don't know where God is, but God knows where I am. I'm in the pit, but he knows I'm in the pit. I'm nose to nose with a snarling lion, but God knows about the lion." Amen. Snow's falling and the ground's slippery, and it's a perilous place. But God knows where I am. Amen. Let me tell you something else God knows. God knows the outcome. Hallelujah. He said, did he say? He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, this is our victory, even our faith. God has given you something to carry into the pit with you, and that's faith in God. And God knows that you can slay that lion. God knows that you're going to come out of that pit victoriously. God knows that. Before He ever lets you get in face to face with a lion in the pit on the snowy day. God already knows. Amen. Hey, isn't that wonderful and exciting news to know that God knows where I am? God knows what's going on. Hallelujah. I may not know, but He knows. He has confidence and He's with me. Amen. And if God be for us, who can be against us? He had great confidence. He had great faith. He knew that somehow God was going to bring him through. Amen. His other name, the name of his father, means that, or his name means God builds. You see, what we don't understand sometimes is God knows what's ahead of us. And He knows what you have to be when you get there. God builds us. He starts out by giving you little trials in your life. Amen. And little things, and as you go along, you become so strong, you don't even think about those things anymore. But things that were so tough for you in your early Christian experience, they're not even on the radar anymore. Because you become strong. You didn't know it, because it's just, so it's a process. And it happens slowly. And you build strength and you build muscle and you become stronger every day. It's like education. Somebody said the essence of education is repetition. You remember when you did your tutums? Tutums, they were very hard. Tutums 1 is 1. Tutums 2 is 2, or 4, isn't it? Right? And tutums 3 is 6. Your tutums, but your tutums were so hard first time. Now they're easy. Now, when you started reading, it was so hard. And you looked on that book and you thought, see? Spot. Run. Spot. Runs. Fast. And you started spilling it out there, man. You were doing good. And now it's not a problem. You just read without any effort. Amen. Because it's a process. Life's a process. God builds you. God builds you. He puts situations in your life and He builds you. You go through certain things because God is building you. God is building you uniquely like no one else. God has challenges for you. God has work for you that nobody else will do. It'll be your work. And if you don't do it, it just won't get done. So God builds us. So if He has put you in a pit on a snowy day and you're face to face with a lion, it's because you're ready. You're ready. He has built you for that time and allowed you in that place. If He allows you to stand before a giant on a battlefield, and he's got a spear like a weaver's beam, and you have nothing but a staff in your hand, He has built you for that moment and for that time. And you're going to be victorious because God designs winners. God builds winners. And He has made you for that time. You will overcome. You can, because God builds us. Amen. David didn't just happen out on a battlefield to fight a giant, did he? It started out when he was a shepherd boy. And a lion came. And boy, all of a sudden he felt holy boldness. And he got a hold of the lion and slew him. Another day a bear came. That same holy boldness, that anointing of God came upon him. And he felt that strength. And in that strength, he destroyed the bear. So when it came time to face Goliath, it wasn't anything new to David. He felt that same anointing come upon him. And when he felt that anointing, he knew that God is with me. Hallelujah. And in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, he went out and slew Goliath. Amen. God had built him to that point. Hey, you're going to experience things and you experience anointing in your life and the Spirit of God comes upon you and you go through situations and you recognize, this is the Spirit of the Lord that I'm feeling right now. Amen. And I'm going to get through it because God is with me. Now, could I say that the Lord is with you whether you feel Him or not? How you feel is not dependent. Your victory is not dependent on how you feel. We walk not by feeling, but we walk by faith. Amen. It's not our feelings that are going to get us through. Amen. It's God's grace that's going to bring us through. And God does bring us through. Amen. He said He would, and we know that He will. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So God builds us for a certain situation in life. And when you get to that place, heaven's grace will be there. And you will overcome because our God will not fail you. Amen. Praise God. You see, you overcome because of who you are and because of what you are. Somebody said that reputation is what people think we are and character is what we really are. So God builds character in your life. And in that time, He will, through that character, He will make you to be what you do not think you can be. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have God with us. And God has built us and put into us everything that's needed for that time. Have you ever been in a situation and you didn't know what to say and all of a sudden these things started coming to your mind? Hallelujah. And you started saying things that you didn't even remember that you knew. You know where those answers come from? Because God built them into there. And when the time came, that's what He told His disciples, wasn't it? He said, don't be afraid when you stand before the council. He said, I'll give you what to say. Now, it's important that you prepare yourself. And don't just expect God. Somebody said, well, God will just, He'll just in the time, He'll just give me what to say. Well, let me tell you how that works. He gives you what to say beforehand. Amen. But if you didn't prepare, you're not going to have anything but hot air when you get there. Some people say, I don't believe in studying for preaching. I believe you should get up and let God fill your mouth. He will with hot air. There's preparation needs to go into things. You prepare yourself and then God can bring things to your remembrance. But if you don't put it in there, He can't pull it out. Amen. So we put things in. Amen. Constantly studying, preparing, building. Because there's going to be a day you're going to face a lion. You're going to need what God has put into you in that moment, in that time. But God's going to help you, and He's going to get you through. He's going to get you through. Praise the Lord. He said He would, and He always will. Amen. He's not a God that ever fails. Praise God. I love the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And the Bible said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, everybody see, all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be tempted, but He never gave in. So when you're tempted, He knows what it's like because He's been there. When you're facing the lion, He knows what it's like because He's been there. When you're in the pit, He knows what it's like because He's been there. Amen. God
is not putting you in something that He Himself has not come through. And then the Scripture said, let us therefore, when you're in the pit, when you're facing the lion, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you, there's times that if you think you have to kneel to pray, there's a time to kneel and there's a time not to kneel. And when you're facing a lion, it's not time to kneel. Amen. It's time to keep your eye on the enemy. It's time to do like those guys that were fighting with Gideon and getting a drink and keeping their eye on the enemy. Amen. There's a time to watch and pray. And that's what you're doing. You watch and pray. Amen. But prayer is just as effective. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You don't have to kneel to pray. You don't have to go to a certain place in your prayer closet to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God is everywhere. You need to talk to Him all the time. He said when you're walking by the way. Amen. When you're in your house. When you're in your chamber. When you're on your job. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, it's good to just talk to God a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. A friend of mine was taking a trip when we were in Bible college, going on a journey and riding late at night by himself, and he got his Bible and he put it right beside him in the seat, and he said, Lord, I want you to come sit right here. He said, I'm going to talk to you. And he was just talking to the Lord. Amen. And suddenly a church, large 18-wheeler truck swerved over into his lane, and they hit and collided. Smashed his car just almost flat. He got out of it without a scratch. The truck driver was looking distraught, and he come and he says, he was looking already. He said, who are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for the guys in that car. He said, that was me. He said, couldn't have been. Couldn't be you. I'm going to tell you, it was a good time to be talking to the Lord. Amen. It was a good time to be talking to the Lord. Amen. God can bring you out of impossible situations. It's good to talk to the Lord all the time. Amen. To keep yourself in a spirit of prayer, that He's always just a word away. Amen. Praise God. And so that's how you are able to deal with the lions in your life. Amen. It's something that you do. You build strength every day. Amen. Then when you come face to face with the lion, there's confidence. This too shall come to pass. Amen. I may be hurting today. I may be in such pain, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'm going to make it. Amen. God's going to get me through somehow. I don't know. I can't see a light. I can't see an answer. But God has one. Amen. Sometimes we pray prayers, and God, it seems, did not answer our prayer. But He did answer your prayer. Amen. Sometimes God, He just... There's a pit and there's a lion, and you've got to go there. One way or another, you're going to go there. You can't pray your way around it. You've got to go through it. But He's going to go through it with you. Amen. And when you come out of that pit, you will be a mighty man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you come out of that pit and the lion is lying dead, amen, and you've left the snow behind, somehow you crawl out. Amen. Praise God. Then you'll know in that moment that whatever I face from here on, it's not going to be like the lion. If I ever have to get in another pit on a snowy day, if it's full of lions, I'm going to be all right. Because if God can take care of that one, He can take care of the whole den full. Amen. Praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You're going to face some lions in your life. But just know who you are. Know who your Father is. Know that God has built you, and He would not allow you to come to this moment if you were not strong enough to come through. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Now there are some people that, I'm sorry to say, at the last moment of time, they lose it. Grace is there. Strength is there. Deliverance is there. But they just don't avail themselves of it. Amen. There was a father whose son was killed in an accident, a young man. The father came so distraught that he took his Bible and he threw it into the fireplace. And he said, God, I've served you all these years, and this is how you repay me. I'll never touch your word again. I'll never pray again. Amen. And in bitterness, he lived the rest of his life in misery. Amen. Just because things happen that you can't understand or control, folks, don't give up your faith in God. Don't become miserable and bitter. Amen. I know another man, the same thing happened to him. Amen. But you know what? He just took the attitude that David took. He said, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. Amen. I don't understand why God allowed this to happen. I don't understand why God allowed this, but he said he did. And so somehow in some way, he pressed on. He's still faithful to this day, serving God, preaching his word, powerful in the ministry. He didn't let it destroy him. Amen. You're going to face some lions. When you do, you've got what it takes. You've got what it takes. Just don't let your faith fail. Amen. Just hold on. Hold on. Because God is going to bring you through. That's his plan. He will bring you through safely to the other side. Amen. Because Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. Praise God. There was a great preacher in the past. He was suffering severely with back problems. Anybody's ever had back problems, you know what he was dealing with. He was so down and his back just was bothering him so badly. Even though he was suffering, somebody came, knocked on the door and wanted him to give him some counsel. And so he had been writing something down, and so he told the housekeeper that was helping him. He said, just take her this piece of paper. He said, this is what I've been thinking about my own situation. So he said, maybe this will be some help for her. So this is what he said. He said, in time of trouble, he said, first say, he brought me here. It is by his will that I'm in the straight place. In that I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then say, he'll make this trial a blessing, teaching me lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. And last, say, in his good time, he will bring me out again. How and when he knows. Therefore I say, I'm here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. That's a lot of maturity, folks. Amen. But God doesn't bring you to the lion until you're mature. God doesn't bring you to the lion until you're ready. Amen. And when he does, don't let your faith fail. Just believe God's going to get you through, and he will. And he will. And you'll have a great testimony. And you'll be able to tell others, yes, there was a time I faced a lion in a pit on a snowy day, but God brought me through, and he'll bring you through just as well. Amen. Praise God. Let's look to him together. Jesus, you know our hearts here today. I don't know exactly where the people are. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. There may be somebody here that feels like they're in the pit. and they're facing the lion. Amen. And they don't know where to go. Amen. But help them tonight to understand that you are there. And they are there. Amen. And you're going to get them through the situation that they face. Amen. They're going to come out on the other side, faithful, kept by the grace of God, with a marvelous testimony. Amen. And wonderful life lessons that they'll use over and over and over again to help others in their time of need as well. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. I think it'd be good if we'd just come and draw a little strength from the Lord here. Gather around this altar and lift up our faces to the Lord. Lift up our hands for His help. Lift up our minds today so that He can cover us with grace. Lift up our hearts so He can fill us with courage. Amen. Jesus, I'm standing here today in need. Difficulties and problems, but You're going to help me. By grace, I shall overcome. Hallelujah. You're going to help me, Jesus. I'm going to make it. By grace. By grace. By grace. By grace.